Well, good morning. My name is Ben. I'm the lead pastor here at CORE, and we could not be more excited, whether you're here for the very first time or back for the 100th time, or maybe this morning you're checking us out online, or it's a Tuesday morning and you're sitting in your car or your office and you're with us, that we could not be more excited to get to spend an hour of our week with you. And this morning, most fittingly, we find ourselves wrapping up this series that we've been in for the last 4 weeks that we have been calling Breakthrough on the exact same Sunday that we find ourselves wrapping up this season in this facility. And as we stand here collectively looking towards the future, a future that brings about all sorts of unknown change to our lives and our stories and our church, what we know is that there is this uncomfortableness that comes along with the uncertainty of the future and stepping into new seasons. And yet what maybe you've heard us talk about time and time again around here is this. Is that in the midst of uncertainty and in the midst of change and in the midst of things not being as they've always been, that we are a church that stands with great hope on this belief. That we serve a God in spite of what we look back on and all the incredible things that he's done in and through this place over the course of at least the last 8 years that I've been around here and been leading here, what we believe with all of our heart is this, is that we serve a God of the breakthroughs and the best is yet to come. And that ultimately, as we continue to follow God's leading and continue to take steps of risk into the unknown, we ain't seen nothing yet. And ultimately, what that gives us hope to, a hope that continues to propel us forward, a hope that continues to allow us to create a vision of how we reach further into our city and our world, a hope that allows us to believe and to hope for a breakthrough that is on the other side. And where worlds collide within this series is this, is that this particular series hasn't just been a series, while it's certainly been this, a series designed for us collectively to prepare ourselves for the next season in which we're entering into as a church. It has been far more than that. It has also been a series that connects with each of our individual journeys. Because what I'm willing to bet is that your journey doesn't look too dissimilar from mine. And that oftentimes we walk through life and we find ourselves in the midst of difficult circumstances. Maybe some of you find yourself there right now, presently encountering brokenness within a relationship or brokenness within your finances or maybe even brokenness within your health or the health of somebody that you love. And in those moments in which you find yourself encountering brokenness in your life, something that isn't the way you want it to be, secretly inside of every single one of us, we find ourselves standing there, desperately hoping for a breakthrough. Or maybe this morning you walked into this place, and it's not so much that anything in your life is exceedingly bad. It's just that you find yourself in a place in which it seems like there is this wall, this insurmountable obstacle that stands in front of you in which you feel stuck in the mundane. As if you're living a life that really doesn't have a great amount of meaning or a great amount of purpose. You find yourself in a place in which your life is stuck in a place that you never wanted it to be. Encountering things or doing things in which you never dreamt you would be doing. And in all of those circumstances and situations of our lives, we find ourselves desperately hoping that maybe our lives can take a change for the better, can begin to move in a different direction, can have the potential to break through that wall that stands between us and where we want to be. But the problem for many of us is this. As we find ourselves in those moments of our lives, standing face to face with that wall, that insurmountable obstacle that keeps us from going where we want to go, or maybe even greater than that, if you follow Christ, this is what you believe about your life, that keeps us from getting to where we were created to be and how we were created to live, hoping for a breakthrough, we have literally no idea what to do to produce that breakthrough. For many of us, we've been through seasons of our lives in which we have literally exhausted every option and tried everything known to man. And yet oftentimes in those seasons in which it feels as if we have exhausted every option to experience a breakthrough in our lives, often what we miss is that within every single one of our reaches, there is a key ingredient at our disposal that we can use in our lives to unlock the breakthrough that God desires for us. And yet here's the complicated part. Is that oftentimes this key ingredient is something that seems so confusing at surface level. Or maybe we've grown up in the church and it's been painted as a confusing picture, and so we've just stopped using it altogether. Or maybe this key ingredient has become so complicated in our lives and we just don't understand it, that those complications holding us back from even wanting to understand it or tap into it. Or for others of us, life seems to get so busy that we've brushed this key ingredient off to the side in our lives and our priority list, and it's simply been reserved to a last resort. When I've exhausted every other option and tried to fix it myself, then maybe my last resort will be tapping into this key ingredient. And yet here's what's so incredible about this key ingredient that's within reach for all of us to unlock the breakthroughs. It was never meant to be complicated or confusing or a last resort. It was meant to be simple and easy and powerful in every single one of our lives and our stories. That key ingredient that's within reach to unlock the breakthroughs we desire is prayer. And what we find and what we've been talking about is simply this, is that when we look back through history, and we look back at the accounts of real-life situations that happened in our world over the course of thousands of years, what we find is that every breakthrough moment throughout history was always precursored with this key ingredient of prayer. Prayer was always the thing that initiated the breakthrough. And it's the reason why we want this series to be a series of incredible hope. Hope surrounded around two key truths. The first is this, is that we find hope within this series for a breakthrough in our future, or a breakthrough for the future of our world, in the fact that we serve a God of the breakthroughs. A God who nothing is impossible for him. A God who is on our side and fighting for us and wants us to experience breakthroughs in our life. But it isn't just that truth that brings hope to this series. It's also the fact that, yes, we have a big and powerful God who can do anything. And is a God who can break through any wall that stands between us and what we desire to live out in our lives. But we also have a God who is that big but small enough to open up a direct line of communication between us and him. A God small enough to desperately desire relationship with me. One in a billions in the world in which we live, that he cares about my life and my walls and my hurt and my circumstances and the things that I'm walking through and moving me towards something better in my life and in my story. And that hope that we cling to is the very reason why we have used this one moment in history as the cornerstone of this series. It's a moment that we find happening several thousand years ago in a group of a couple of million people. A couple of million people who found themselves enslaved for over 400 years. And immediately, after finding themselves freed from slavery, progressed forward into 40 years of wandering in the desert. And then the moment that's become the cornerstone of this particular series, we find this group of people about to experience one of the largest breakthroughs of all time. They were about to enter into their promised land, something of their own that they had never experienced before, something that, as the stories, the accounts of history tell us, was a land that was flowing with milk and honey, not whips and slavery. And yet before they experienced this breakthrough moment, there was instruction that was directly given to them that would set the table for the breakthrough to happen. We find it in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, starting in verse 5. This one verse has been the cornerstone for this series. It says, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you."
You see, this is the hope that we cling to in our individual stories, but also in our collective stories. And if I dare to substitute a word, that next week, God will do amazing things among us. That tomorrow, God will do amazing things in your story. But there was this first part that sets the table for that second part, for that hope that we cling to. And it was this part, consecrate yourselves. And I don't know about y'all, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but oftentimes as I'm reading through God's word and I come across words like consecrate, right, it scares me a little bit. Because, like, I don't really understand what that is, and that's kind of a religious-y word, and I don't know what God's getting at there, so I kind of just want to avoid that altogether. And yet this word is so incredible, because in the original Hebrew, this word consecrate, when we take it out to the English, it literally is a word that is defined as to connect with the holy. To connect with our Heavenly Father, to connect with God. That's all Joshua is saying, that if you want to experience amazing things tomorrow, connect with your Heavenly Father today. And here's why that's so amazing, y'all. Because several thousand years later, every single one of us can still do that. No matter how messed up you feel, no matter how broken you think your story is, we have a God whose number one desire, should I say it again? Whose number one desire is to connect with you. No matter where you are, what you've been through, or what you're going through, a God who wants to connect with you. And what's so incredible about that is this, is that the God of the universe wants to do relationship with you, and he wants to help you move towards the reason that you were created. He wants to help you move towards life and life to the full, to experience a rich and satisfying life. Yes, on this side of eternity, on this side of heaven, in every single one of our lives, at the time that we have left on earth, a God who wants what's best for us and wants to move us in the right direction. And if that's the case, if that's a truth that we can believe in and cling to, then what we must begin to recognize in our lives is this, is that there is nothing more important in our life than hearing God's voice and responding. That if we serve a big God who wants to move us towards something better, then there is nothing more important in our life for the sake of our future than hearing God's voice and responding. Man, if you want a breakthrough, if you want to live your life on purpose, if you want to make the greatest impact possible, if you want to leave a legacy, if you want to experience life to the full, there is nothing more important than hearing God's voice and responding to it. And because of that truth, that we have a God who wants us to hear his voice and respond to it, to move in a better direction in our lives, what we can trust is this, is that God wants us to hear his voice. And the primary way he wants us to hear his voice, his guidance, his direction in our life, is through prayer. God wants us to hear his voice through prayer. And I know what many of us are thinking in this moment. And I get it, y'all. Many of you are thinking, Ben, but I don't get it. What do you mean? God wants me to hear him through prayer. Because, Ben, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but prayer is an exercise in talking. God hears me when I pray, not the other way around. And this next truth, y'all, is an absolute game changer for those of us who consider ourselves to be Christ followers when it comes to our faith and when it comes to our prayer life. Prayer is not just an exercise in talking. You see, every great relationship is not a one-way line of communication. Every great relationship is necessary to be reciprocal. But there must be communication that flows both ways in order for us to be in relationship. That we must find time to and make it a priority to not just talk when it comes to our prayer life, but to also listen to what God wants to say in response to our prayers, in response to what we're walking through, in response to the walls that we find up in front of us that we are hoping to break through in our lives. That we have to become not just active talkers, but also active listeners. In our story. You see, for many of you who are parents, have been parents along this journey called life, you understand this concept to a T when it comes to parenting. For Krista and I, our oldest, Beckham, he's 6, he's in kindergarten. And for those of you who know him, what you've quickly realized about him is that he is best described simply as a talker. Beckham can talk a mile a minute, and he can use up every second of 16 hours that he's awake and every day to talk. And he will just keep going, and it doesn't matter if it makes sense. He just wants to fill the air with his voice, and he's just going to keep going. And sometimes, in the midst of the annoyance of that, sorry, bud. Sometimes I have to just stop and step back and, like, wander in the amazement of that. Because when Beckham came to be a part of our family at almost 3 years old, he could say about 4 or 5 words. That's it. Most of them were just sounds. And now we have this little boy who's talking a mile a minute and talking about everything and talking our ears off. And you know, oftentimes what happens with Beckham is this, is as he's talking and telling stories and thinking of things through his imagination, and we're sitting at the dinner table and we're doing things and he's running around the house tormenting his brother, there will be moments in which mom or myself, we stop and we begin to talk. We give instruction to him. And he will stop talking for just a minute, and then it's like, are you done yet? Because I got more to say. It doesn't have anything to do with what you just said, but I got more that I want to say. So as soon as you hit the period on the end of that, I'm just going to keep right on trucking with my train of thought and just continue to press through. And you see, here's where the connection point hits in our lives. For me, as an imperfect earthly father, what I recognize about my kids and what you've recognized about yours is this. Is that there are moments in their journeys and in our relationship in which I desperately want to hear them talk. But there also comes moments along this journey in which they need to hear me talk. Because I've got something that's important for the sake of their safety that I want to say to them. Because I've got something that I want to teach them for the sake of their present and for the sake of their future. Because I've got something that I want to graciously give to them or surprise them with. And you see, so often in our spiritual walk, we miss out on those moments with our Heavenly Father in which He wants to teach us something for the sake of our safety, or He wants to show us something that leads to a better present or a better future, or He wants to surprise us with some gracious gift in our life. And we don't see those things because we're so busy talking and partaking in this exercise of prayer that we have reserved down to just a one-way line of communication. And God's saying, whoa, 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 I've got so much more for you if you'll just take a little time and listen. I want to hear the words you have to say. I want you to pray to me and bring to me what you've got and all your concerns and all your heartbreak and all your walking through. My answers might not always be what you want them to be, but I guarantee you, you want to hear my answers. That what I say and how I speak is worthwhile for the sake of your life and your future and the breakthrough that you desire in your life. And sometimes, you all, we have to treat our lives and our relationship with God in the same way we treat our car when we find ourselves lost. You see, oftentimes in our relationship with God, right, we find ourselves lost and then we step back and wonder why. I don't know what God's saying to me, and I don't know what direction to go, and I don't know what the best next step is. And it's because we haven't quieted the noise around us. You see, at least for me, when I find myself driving in a big city and it's like, I'm not sure where the GPS is telling me to go. Like, is it this light that I'm supposed to turn right at, or is it the next one? Or we're lost and that dreaded word comes across the top and it says rerouting. And now things have gotten serious, right? And we're going to venture into parts of town that we didn't want to be in unless we listen intently. In the midst of those moments in which I'm lost and confused, what's the first step that we take within our cars? At least the Carver car with 2 kids in the back seat. You turn around and you tell everybody else to be quiet, right?
Stop hitting your brother. Stop fighting. Stop screaming, because I need to hear the voice of the guide right now. In order for me to get where I'm going from where I am and being lost and confused, what's imperative is for me to quiet the noise around me so that I can hear clearly the voice of the guide that's trying to get me where I'm intended to go. And you see, the same is true in our lives, is that sometimes we have to find a way, by whatever means necessary, to quiet the noise around us so that we can hear the voice of the guide in our lives trying to guide us in the right direction. You see, moving in the right direction and experiencing a breakthrough in life requires us to be able to hear his voice. But the problem is always this, is that whether you believe it or not, there are always two voices vying for your attention. A voice that's attempting to move you towards something better and a breakthrough, and a voice that's trying to lie to you and distract you to move you away from it. And that very reality is the reason why this guy named Paul that we've been returning back to throughout this series, a guy that we've been returning back to and reviewing some of the things that he prayed to set the table and to create a model for us and how we should pray, chose to pray this for you and for me. We find it in a letter that he wrote to a local church just like us in a city in the middle of Mesopotamia called Philippi. And as Paul wrote this letter, right from the very beginning, he begins to pray this prayer for the people of the local church, just like you and I, that still pertains to us 2,000 years later. And here's what Paul prayed for, starting in verse 9. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. That in your life, in your journey, in your spiritual walk, that every day you will keep taking steps forward to grow in knowledge and in understanding. Some translations also put in here the word discernment, but we'll get to that in a second. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live a pure and blameless life until the day of Christ's return. I want you to continue to grow in knowledge and understanding so that you will be capable of living the best life possible with the time you've been given on this earth. That's what Paul prays over you and I. And what Paul alludes to is essentially this. The way in which we further our knowledge and understanding in any facet of our life is simply this. We all know this, right? You go to someone and learn from someone who knows more than you know. Correct? That's what we did for 13, some of us 17, some of us 20 years of our life, right? We go to a classroom and we learn from someone who knows more than what we know to teach us and to grow us in our knowledge and our understanding of that particular topic. And yet when it comes to our lives and our direction and what we were created for, is there anyone who knows better than the creator and sustainer of the universe? Anyone better that we can learn from and take direction from than him? And this word that is often substituted in there, this word discernment, is another one of those words like consecrate, right? Like, hey boy, that's pretty religious-y for me. I don't really know what that means, and it kind of scares me. But this word discernment, right? You can see the correlation in the English words, but in the same word that's discernment in the Greek can be defined as decide. That's what discernment is. To decide between two voices that are trying to take you in opposite directions. That I am praying that you will know how to decide which one is the right voice and which one is the wrong voice for the sake of your life. And why would Paul pray that? I'm filling in the blanks here, so give me a little bit of grace, okay? Don't call me a heretic on the last Sunday here. My guess is that Paul prayed this because Paul experienced what you and I have experienced a time or two or 100. And it's this, that in the moments of our lives in which we find ourselves confused and unsure of where to go, we're like, oh, I think that way seems right. I think that way provides the best opportunity for us. And so we just pick the way, and there's a way that appears to be right. It's what King Solomon talked about thousands of years before Paul prayed this. There's a way that seems to be right, but in the end, it ended up leading to death. It ended up taking me down the wrong path, the way that I didn't want to go. It seemed right to me on the surface. It seemed right to those other people who were telling me what to do in my life. But in the end, it took me in a direction that I didn't want to go. And because every single one of us have experienced that in our lives, then when we just at random pick a direction or what seems right to us, and we end up going in the wrong direction or ending up in the wrong place, it's imperative for us to recognize that if I really want to move in the right direction from this day forward, we have to learn to recognize God's voice. We have to learn to recognize God's voice if we want to make the right decisions. Sure, this series is about a breakthrough, but this morning is about so much more than that. It's about every decision of your life. Whether you believe it or not, the truth is that our Heavenly Father wants us to make the best decisions and experience His best. But we can't do that unless we really hear Him. We can't possibly do that unless we are really listening to Him. But the elephant in the room is this. How? Ben, how do we do that? Because undoubtedly, if you're in this room and you consider yourself to be a Christ follower, you're watching online and you consider yourself to be a Christ follower, you've come up against moments in your life in which you're like, I feel like I've tried and I still have no idea what God's trying to say to me. I tried and I have no idea what direction He wants me to go in, what He wants me to choose. And so because we've all been there, how I want to finish our time together is I want to take us on a quick journey. A quick journey through three questions. That if we would begin to shape our prayer life around these three questions and just ask the question, act on it, and listen, that these three questions would allow us to hear and recognize God's voice in our life for our decisions and in our circumstances better from this day forward. The first is this. That in order for us to recognize God's voice, we should be consistently asking the question, does it align with God's word? Does the direction I'm going or the decision I'm making or what I'm trying to choose between, which one aligns with God's word? And here's what's so incredible. This entire series has been about prayer. And yet what we say for the end is this, is that prayer is actually more powerful when it's coupled with other spiritual disciplines. Prayer in and of itself, by itself, is a powerful tool. But when we choose to couple that with other spiritual disciplines in our lives, it becomes even more powerful. And when we choose to say, man, I'm so committed to trying to hear God's voice and God's direction for my life, that I want to confirm it through God's word, that's when we begin to hear better and clearer along the way. And hear me on this, man. I hope that over the last 8 years, you've heard me say this countless times, and you've believed it to such a degree that you've been willing to lean in just a little bit. That this step is simply about starting somewhere. Our mission statement is about moving one step closer to Jesus Christ every single day. And we believe that with all of our heart, that we have a God who honors the small steps in our lives. And so tapping into God's word to try to figure out the direction that He's trying to move us can simply begin by like 1 to 2 minutes a day, y'all. Just starting somewhere and picking up a devotional or hopping onto the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible tool that has just about anything you can find. It's a free download on your phone that you're constantly hopping onto for social media like 472 times a day. You can grab that YouVersion app, and right there you can find something that you're moving through in life, and it'll give you a devotion that you can work through for 7 days or 10 days or 2 weeks in your life. It'll take you like 4 minutes of your day. Or that 21 days of prayer guide that we have been moving through. Today is the last day of that. But it doesn't have to be.
If you're like, I don't know where to go, and I don't know how to combine prayer with God's word, that you just continue to go through that every 3 weeks, and you just tap back into that, and you read that, because it has one scripture for you to read, and then a really quick blurb of a direction to point you that you can read through, and then it has things that you can pray about on that particular subject. That you go back to that, and you combine prayer with God's word in your life. Because what I recognize is probably the same as you would recognize if we got honest enough. We live in a complicated world in which making the right decisions seem to get more and more difficult. Am I right? Because things are constantly changing. Nothing around us stays the same. Technology changes. Politicians change. Science changes. Everything changes at the speed of light around us. And we find ourselves wondering, what's right now in light of what's changed and what's different from yesterday? And here's the good news, y'all. We don't have to rely on an ever-changing world around us to know the right direction and course for our lives. Because we have something at our disposal that never changes. That has remained the same for thousands of years in our past and will remain the same and steadfast and true for thousands of years to come. God's word. And the God of the universe, when he put on flesh and stepped onto the pages of history, made that abundantly clear. This is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 21. For heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Heaven and earth will change. Heaven and earth will fade away, but my words remain steadfast and true in your life and in your journey for all of time. That's what we can stand on. That's what we can rely on. That's what we can find hope in. When you find yourself in moments of your life in which you're wondering, like, well, should I just fudge that number a little bit? And it's only cheating the government out of a little bit of my tax money if I fudge those numbers. And I don't really support the government or believe in what the government believes in, and I don't really align with my government. So is it really that big of a deal that I don't give all the money that I'm supposed to give to my government? Pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. And to God, what is God? God's word never changes. When you're wondering within your workplace, your business that you own, man, if I just take a shortcut here, and I just get to that next level within the organization, or I take my business to the next level with this huge sale, and I just fudge this a little bit, and I don't go completely honest, but God, believe me on this, God, if I make a little more, then, God, I'll have more to give to you. In Proverbs, God honors those who are upright in the marketplace. God's word remains true and steadfast and constant. And what I believe with all of my heart is that God's voice never contradicts God's word. God's voice never contradicts God's word. And if you're desperate to move in a better direction with your life and desperate for a breakthrough, then maybe it begins by coupling prayer with God's word, tapping into God's word in our life. The second question is this. Do other strong followers of Jesus confirm it? Do strong followers of Jesus in my life confirm the direction that I'm moving in? Right? And we're going to go back to a similar story really quickly, right? When I decide to date that boy or that girl, would the strong followers of Jesus in my life say that that's a wise decision for me to be making? And yet, while that's a really simple example for us to give that relates to all of us, we have countless moments in our lives in which we face the pressure in difficult circumstances. And when life gets difficult, here's what I typically do, y'all, and I'm sure y'all are way better than me. But in the moments where life gets difficult, my natural tendency is for me to begin to pull away from people, not lean into people. And the reason that we often do that is twofold: pride and pressure. Pride continues to communicate into my life, probably from, you know, that other voice that I talked about that wants to move us away from what's best and the breakthrough in our lives, that you can do this on your own. You can figure this out. You can fix this. You don't need anybody else. And furthermore, Ben, you don't want anybody to know how messed up you are. Don't let them in. Hang on to your pride. Hang on to the way that they look at you favorably. But it isn't just pride that holds me back. It's also pressure. The pressure in our lives that I've got to accomplish this much. I've got to get to this level. My bottom line on my paycheck has to be this much. And the pressure of that forces me to make any decision necessary to get there. Or maybe for you, it's not so much physical or economical gain. It's just simply the pressure of pleasing other people. And I don't want them to be disappointed with me. I don't want them not to like me. And the pressure of that weighs on us and eats at us. And so we don't even stop to think whether or not it's the right decision. We're just pleased by the fact that they're happy and that they still like us. And that continues to drive us forward. You see, if you want to move in a better direction, you have to begin to surround yourself with the right people. But we've talked about this 100 times, but we're going to go the last 10% this morning. Just surrounding yourself with the right people, with great people, isn't good enough. Well, what? That's simply the first step. If you want to move in the right direction and do your best to confirm God's word, you see, oftentimes God wants to speak to us through other people, through great people. But in order for us to hear God's voice through other people, guess what? We have to allow them to speak into our lives. Hello, y'all okay? Surrounding yourself with great people is a great first step, but then you have to be willing to ask for advice, and then you have to be willing to humbly receive it. That is how we begin to hear God's voice in our lives, our circumstances, and for our direction clearer and better than what we have ever heard it before. It's the reason why King Solomon writes things like this time and time again. In Proverbs chapter 15, he says, "Plans go wrong for lack of advice, but many advisors bring success." And then just a few chapters before that, he writes this, "For the mouth of God of the godly person gives wise advice." We have to have the right people and then be willing to allow great people to speak into our life the advice that they have, and we humbly listen to it. So the question is this: do you have any great voices in your life that you're allowing to speak into you? It's not enough to just be in a small group. It's not enough to have great voices on social media. All of us would say, oh yeah, I've got some great friends. But are you actually allowing them to speak into your life and to tell you, confirm or deny, man, I think that you're moving in the right and healthy direction. And they really have your best, not their best, in mind. Does it align with God's word? Do strong followers of Jesus confirm it? And then the last one is this: would Jesus do this? Would Jesus do this? See, here's the question for myself. How often in my actions or reactions do I start with this question? And the truthful answer is very rarely. You know what kind of questions I start with? How does that align with what I believe? How does that align with my opinion? Is that right or is that wrong? And hear me on this, y'all. None of those questions are bad questions. They're just not the ultimate question. Because those questions don't necessarily answer this question. But this question answers all of those. And here's what's so incredible. We get this baby that tells us, shows us, explains to us exactly what Jesus did, how he acted and reacted to the hurt and the brokenness and the messes around him. Would Jesus do this? And y'all, let me just lean in for a second. Strap in if you're a Christ follower in the room. If you're not, you're totally off the hook on this one, okay? You see, oftentimes in the messes of the world around us, be it in any circumstance, as Christ followers, the one that we go back to is this. Oh, Jesus flipped the temple tables. Jesus didn't flip the temple tables on lost people, y'all. Y'all okay? So we can get rid of that one when we go back to number one. Does what I'm doing align with God's word? Would Jesus do this? Did he do this? Is this how he loved and acted and reacted in our world? That, hello, y'all, 2,000 years ago was just as much of a mess as what it was today. Because this is what it really means to be a Christ follower. This is what Paul writes. He says, in your lives, if you consider yourselves to be a Christ follower, you must think and act like Jesus. When we start with that question, it makes this truth abundantly clear that James spells out for us. James, the brother of Jesus, who didn't believe that Jesus was who he says he was, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Savior, until Jesus went off and did that one thing where he said he was going to die and rose again, and then he actually went off and did it. James looked back on the life of Jesus, and what he began to discover is this is who Jesus wasn't, and this is who Jesus was. And this is what we should be modeling all lives, actions, and reactions around. Check out what James writes. He says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Any direction you're moving that has a hint of jealousy or selfishness, that's not the direction that God wants you to move in your life. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. But the wisdom from above, this is who Jesus was and is calling you to be, is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. See, I don't know about y'all, but when I look at my typical actions and reactions, they don't often look like that. Like that second list that James lays out for us. Why? Because oftentimes I didn't start with this question. Would Jesus do this? And you see, let's be clear about something. Starting with this question in all lives to hear God's voice and his direction for all life more clearly will rarely, if ever, be comfortable. It'll be difficult. It'll be hard to start with this question and change the way we act and react. But what I believe with all of my heart is this, is that I have a God who is far more concerned with impacting my character rather than my comfort. A God who is far more interested in developing my character rather than just my comfort. Hearing God's voice and leaning in to following the example of Jesus won't be easy or comfortable, but I promise you it will be worth it for the impact you are capable of making on the other side. See, there's some imperative questions to answer. Questions like, are you really desperate and longing to hear and recognize the voice of the guide in your life? Do you want to move in a better direction? Do you want to experience a breakthrough? If so, our Heavenly Father's voice is the voice that moves mountains. When he speaks, breakthroughs happen. When he speaks, walls buckle in front of us. When he speaks, heaven and earth collide. And if that is true, then I don't want to miss his voice. I want to take time to listen for it. I want to recognize it. I want to begin to move in the right direction. I don't want to listen anymore to the other voices that are trying to lead me in the opposite direction from the breakthroughs that God wants for me and my future. You see, when we connect with our Heavenly Father in prayer and we respond to his voice, we can have a confidence that in our stories, there will be victory. We can have a confidence that in our church, in our future, there will be breakthroughs and there will be victory. We have a God who is fighting for us, a God of the breakthrough where nothing is impossible. But in order for us to experience the breakthroughs he has for us in our future, we have to become people who are desperate enough for those breakthroughs to actually stop and listen for his. desperate are you? I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for that in my life, for my family, for this church, y'all, for our city, for our world. Who's willing to get desperate with me? Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you for being a God who's so big that nothing is impossible for you. A God of the breakthroughs, who can break down every wall, move every mountain, and yet also a God who desperately desires to do relationship with me personally, who wants to speak to me, into my direction and my circumstances, who wants to help me experience life and experience it to the full. And God, on this day, I don't want to miss that. I want to lean into your voice because I trust that you are a God who moves mountains, that you are a God who makes heaven and earth collide on our behalf, that you are a God who changes things. And when it comes to my life, my story, our story, we are desperate for the kind of change that changes things in a big way. We love you. We thank you. Today we lean into your voice. It's in your name we pray.